Well, amen. Thank you so much for the music. What a wonderful reminder of the testimony of our lips, which should be the praise of our Savior. And we were discussing that yesterday in our staff meeting. We're going through a book together called The Soul Winning Church. And in the second chapter of that book, it talks about making much of Jesus. And every time we gather in the house of the Lord, we should make our focus the Lord. And we want people walking out of the building thinking, wow, what a great and awesome God we worship. Amen? And it's not about the preacher. It's not about the music. It's not about, you know, all the stuff in the buildings. It's all about Him. And so tonight we gather to make much of Him. And I certainly hope that as we leave here tonight, you will feel encouraged just by being in the presence of the Lord. Hope everyone has a copy of your Wednesday night news. You'll notice on the front there's all kinds of stuff getting ready to happen. You'll note this Sunday is Graduate Sunday, and so we'll be recognizing our high school and college graduates. So this promises to be a very special time in the life of our church, and so we want to encourage you to be here and be prayerful and supportive for our graduates. And also you'll note that Vacation Bible School is coming up June the 2nd through the 5th. It'll be on top of us before we know it. And so I know Barry is still looking for volunteers. If you can help with VBS, I know he would be very, very glad to have you volunteer in any way at all. I do want to remind you of the Rome Area Prayer Breakfast in the morning. And it will be over at the Forum beginning at 7 a.m. I know that's early, but it's well worth your while. And if you need a ticket, please see me after the service is over tonight, and I will be very happy to get you a ticket so that you can be there. Church, I want to say a special word of thanks to you for your generous giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We did surpass our goal of $13,500 by over $2,000. And so, yes, praise the Lord for that. So you folks just keep on keeping on. You have always impressed me with your generosity. And I brag on this church to people of how generous and how giving this congregation truly is. And so thank you for being that kind of church. It's not true everywhere. So thank you for being that kind of church. You'll note all kinds of other activities taking place, so let me just encourage you to be mindful of those activities. On the flip side of your Wednesday night news is our prayer list, and we want to lift each of these people up before the Lord. There are many people with significant health needs that we want to lift before the Lord. We also want to pray for lost people. If you know people in your sphere of influence, maybe family members, friends, neighbors, work associates that are outside of Christ, we need to pray for them. And so I want to encourage you to do that as we pray together in just a moment. Also pray for our sister churches, pray for our pastor search team as they continue their work of seeking our next pastor. And let's continue praying for our church to experience a culture of invitation. We need to continue doing a great job of inviting people. We've still got invite cards in the rack there at the door as you exit tonight, so please let me encourage you to pick up some invite cards and carry them with you wherever you go. And let's do a great job of inviting anybody with a pulse to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. So thank you for being faithful to do that. I do want to mention a couple of specific prayer requests. Bob Ann Garner has requested prayer as she is meeting a neurosurgeon tomorrow morning to decide if surgery is needed for her neck and back. And so I know that's going to be a very significant meeting tomorrow. So please remember her. And also, Miss Robbie Lane had a little accident today and fell, and she hit her face. I saw a picture of her earlier, and she's banged up pretty good on her face. And So far as we know, there's no broken bones, praise the Lord, but we do want to lift her up before the Lord. She is in the ER, I think at Floyd Hospital. Does anybody know? Nobody knows, okay. But I think she's at Floyd Hospital. So do remember Miss Robbie. Otherwise, she would be here tonight. And she loves to be in the house of the Lord. So let's do remember her as we pray tonight as well. I know all around the building are folks who probably have some unspoken concerns. If that's true of you, would you just uplift your hand all over the building? Yes, God bless every one of you. Thank you for that. And we certainly want to be mindful of your needs. We want to pray for the other activities taking place all over our campus tonight. And let's just pray that Jesus is honored and glorified in all that we do. Let's pray together. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, we come before you this evening to acknowledge that you are the Lord. And we acknowledge that we are your people. We thank you that we can call you our friend. And together tonight, we share a common bond in Jesus. And Lord, because of you, we can come together and experience a sweet fellowship that the world doesn't know nor understand. And Father, tonight I pray that you will delight in the worship of your people. Lord, we pray that as we study your word in just a moment, that you would give us attentive ears to hear what you have for us. I pray that we will leave here encouraged. I pray, Lord, that we will leave here tonight with a greater love for you. And Lord, that we would be in awe of you and who you are and what you've done for us. We want to make much of you tonight. Father, we look at a significant prayer list tonight. There's many names of people who have health needs that are beyond our scope of help, but they're not beyond yours. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you would radically intervene on behalf of each of these precious people. And we pray, Lord, for healing for them as you see fit to do so. Father, you allow us to experience storms in life for kingdom reasons. You desire for us to grow. You desire for us to mature. And Lord, it's in these storms that we learn to trust in you. And so, Lord, I pray for each of these people that they will lean on you heavily. And Lord, that they will see you working in their lives in profound ways. Father, we pray for our country as we desperately need revival. In spiritual awakening, we pray that you will demolish strongholds and dominions of the enemy. We pray, Lord, for truth and righteousness to be the order of the day in our nation again. Father, we pray for the church across America to experience revival. And Lord, that you would shake us out of our sleep and our slumber. And Lord, that once again the house of God all over the nation would be filled with people. Eager to worship you, Lord. And I pray that a watching world will see the transformation that you have brought to your church. And Lord, that a watching world would be strangely drawn to you. Father, I pray for our sister churches in our community, and we ask for your continued favor to be upon them, Lord. Bless them, those that are seeking pastors just like we are. We pray that, God, that you would lead them to the men that you would have to shepherd those flocks. And Lord, we pray for our own search team. We pray that you will continue to guide and direct them as they do their work, Lord, in seeking our pastor. Lord, we pray for each of the requests that were indicated a moment ago by the uplifted hand. Lord, we pray for each of those needs. And we pray, Lord, that you would intervene on behalf of each need as you see fit to do so. And we pray that your great name would be honored and glorified. We pray for Miss Bob Ann as she meets with her doctor tomorrow. We pray that that meeting will go well, that they will be led to a proper decision, Lord. And we pray for healing for her. And Lord, for Miss Robbie as she's recuperating from her injury today, from her fall, I pray that you will help her, God, to heal quickly. We pray, Lord, that her bruises will heal quickly, and we're grateful that her injuries were not more significant than what they were. But God, we just pray now as she's at the ER that, God, that you would just preside over Lord, that meeting with her doctors. And we pray, Lord, again for her healing. And so, Lord, we look ahead to Sunday. We pray, Lord, that the house of God would be filled with people. As we celebrate our graduates, Lord, we pray your favor to be upon all of them. Help them to live for you, to honor you. And, Lord, that each of them would be part of a generation that leads this nation back to righteousness. And, God, we just pray that you would be pleased to meet with us and that lives would be changed by the power of your word. And so, Lord, it's a joy to fellowship with you tonight and to fellowship with your people. And now, Lord, as we open the pages of Scripture, we pray that you will speak into our hearts and lives, and we'll be careful to give you glory and praise for all that you choose to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, very good. Well, thank you again so much for being here. If you have your Bible, please open it with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we'll be looking together at verses 7 through 12 in just a moment. And as you're turning there, I want to say to you, you know, life does get hard, does it not? Life has challenges. There's bumps and bruises along the way. There's highlights and low lights. There are things that discourage us. There's a lot of pain in this life. That's all a part of living in a broken, sinful world. And that's the reason Jesus came into this world, to redeem us from such a broken world. And he will one day make all things brand new. And we look forward to that. But in the meantime, we continue to experience hardships and struggles and trials. And, you know, today we see injustice taking place all over the world. It's difficult to turn on the television anymore and watch the news, because you find yourself growing discouraged by what you see and what you hear. There's just a lot of craziness, a lot of confusion taking place in our world today. I never dreamed when I was a kid that we would be living through such days as what we're seeing today, but we truly are, and I really believe it's only indicative of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And I really believe that Christ is coming. But until he does, we still continue to wait, and we long for his return. You know, you may be going through a storm tonight, and maybe your heart is heavy because of health challenges that you're experiencing. Maybe there's strained or broken relationships within your family or within your friend group. Maybe you are going through some other particular storm. I want you to understand something tonight. God has a word just for you tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight from the Word of God. And I can't think of any greater source of encouragement than the Bible. And so tonight we're going to take a look at James chapter 5. But before we do, I want to say to you, the message tonight focuses on two words, and that is be patient. Be patient. That's the theme of James chapter 1, but it also returns in James chapter 5. The same thing, be patient. And so James wants his readers to understand, who are going through unspeakable suffering because of their faith in Christ. He's saying, wait a minute, y'all. Yeah, times are hard right now. There is pain right now. And you long for the return of the Lord. You're longing for things to be good again. But just be patient. Just be patient. And so that's the theme of James chapter 1 and James chapter 5. But the question we have to answer is, how can we as followers of Jesus experience patient endurance as we wait for the return of the Lord? Well, James provides for us three encouraging examples of patient endurance. Let me read our text very quickly, and then we will come back and look at those three examples. In James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7, he writes, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. So maybe you, as I read this text a moment ago, you picked up on these three examples. And so the first example is found in verses 7-9, and that is the farmer. The farmer serves as an example of patient endurance. Verse 7 says, therefore, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. So James's inspired word to his oppressed brothers and sisters was, be patient. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. How can we be patient when we're hurting? Y'all ever been there before? You injure yourself in some way and you want the pain to stop. I mean, that's how I am, right? I'm not a fan of pain. When I'm hurting, I want it to stop. And the same is true of our hearts. When our hearts hurt, we long for peace. We long for the anguish to go away. When your heart hurts, when life is filled with stress and pressure and grief and even suffering, the words be patient are tough to swallow, are they not? So if you're like me, you want immediate relief when troubles come your way. But the Greek word translated be patient literally means be long-suffering. And so perhaps there were some believers that were taking matters into their own hands, seeking vengeance toward those who had harmed them. Therefore, James commands them to be long-suffering with evil people, just as God is. In Romans 12:19, Paul wrote to believers at Rome who were experiencing persecution with these words. He writes, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So friends, there is coming a day when wrongdoers are going to encounter the wrath of God. The injustices of this world will be weighed out on the scales of divine justice in the courtroom of heaven. So listen, how God chooses to do so is His sovereign choice, not yours and not mine. But God will deal with it, and we can be assured of that. And so we're to wait on Him, and we are to trust in His promise. The phrase, the coming of the Lord, refers to the coming judgment of the wicked. So in order to encourage them to be patient, James used the example of a farmer. And so in verse 7, he writes, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Now, one thing is for sure. If you are an impatient person, you do not need to be a farmer. Amen? You do not need to be a farmer. You cannot plant your seed on Monday and expect to harvest by Friday. That's just not the way it works. It takes time. No farmer has control over the crops. Once you put the seed in the ground, it's up to the Lord to bring about the harvest. You know, too much rain can cause the crop to rot, and too much sun can cause the crop to burn up. And so Jewish farmers would plow and sow seed and what to us are the autumn months. And the early rains would soften the soil, and the latter rain would come in the early spring, which is our February and March. And these latter rains would help mature the harvest. All the while, the farmer had to wait many weeks for the seed to produce fruit. So why is the farmer willing to wait so long on the harvest? That's a great question. Because the fruit is precious, as we see in verse 7. The harvest is worth waiting for. Now listen to me, listen. The end result of our troubles, our sufferings, our struggles is precious to God. Why? Because God is interested in the end result. God is working in and through your life in ways you cannot imagine. But He uses hardship and struggles and trials to sharpen our faith, to galvanize our trust in Him. We may not enjoy the wait, but the result is precious because of what it does in us. It's in the storms that we learn to lean on Jesus. And our faith is enriched and our joy is complete when we see the hand of God cultivating the soil of our hearts in the midst of our circumstances. You're here tonight with a heavy heart. You're here tonight and you're hurting. Oh, beloved, I want you to know God knows where you are. And He is cultivating the soil of your heart. And He's waiting and working to bring about a harvest in your life that is worth the wait. But you must trust Him. And you must be patient. Like the farmer, James also said in verse 8, you too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. So as a farmer must wait on the life-giving rains for his crops, believers must live in anticipation of God's justice. James writes, for the coming of the Lord is near. And we have to believe that. He's going to make all things right. But until then, how do we strengthen our hearts while we wait on the Lord's return? Well, friends, one of the vital ministries of the local church is to establish the heart. Well, Brother Richard, what does that mean? It means that we encourage one another in the Word of God. That's why Wednesday night gatherings are so important. We need each other. We need to encourage one another. This book is precious. This is your life. And God desires to speak into your life tonight. And every time we gather here, God desires to speak to you. And His words are precious. Precious. You need your local church family. And you know what? Everyone sitting in here tonight matters. You matter, ma'am. You, sir. You matter. God cares for you. He cares what you're going through. And He's working day and night, even in your sleep, to develop in you a rich harvest of faith. You know, during the storms of life, it's important that you're rightly connected to your church. But verse 9 says, do not complain, brothers and sisters. He must be talking to Baptist here. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, against one another so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. The command to be patient when we're hurting is the opposite of our natural tendency to complain and hold a grudge. But the picture here is one who is bitter toward other believers. But a wise farmer doesn't get into fights with his neighbors. A wise farmer willingly helps his neighbors. Nobody on the farm has the time or energy for disputes with neighbors. You know, I found that a person who is impatient with God often becomes impatient with God's people. Do they not? Hurt people hurt people. And this is a sin. And we must avoid it at all costs. If we start using the harvesting sickles on each other, then we're going to miss the precious harvest. So tonight, James' first example of patient endurance is the farmer. But secondly, he mentions the prophets. The prophets. Notice in verse 10, he writes, "As an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." You know, a Jewish congregation would easily understand this simple reference that James made to the Old Testament prophets. So what encouragement do we receive from the example of the Old Testament prophets? Well, for one thing, they were in the will of God, but they suffered. Wait a minute. They were in the will of God, but they suffered. They were preaching in the name of the Lord, yet they were persecuted. You see, Satan wants us to believe that our suffering is a result of our own personal sin. Or he wants us to believe that we're suffering because of the unfaithfulness of God. That God has forsaken you. Friends, I got a news flash for you. No one in the history of man has ever experienced the unfaithfulness of God. And he is not about to start tonight. However, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who want to live in a godly way in Christ Jesus, what? Will be persecuted." So friends, this shoots a hole in the American health and wealth gospel we hear in many pulpits across America. Obedience to Christ does not automatically mean a life of ease and pleasure. Jesus himself was obedient to the Father, but his obedience led him to the cross. But secondly, the prophets encourage us by reminding us that God cares for us when we're going through sufferings for his name's sake. Elijah announced to wicked King Ahab that there's going to be a drought in the land for 3.5 years. And indeed there was. But guess what? Elijah had to live through the drought just like everyone else. But God cared for him and God gave him victory over the evil priests of Baal. And someone has well said that the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that is so true. And you know, many of the prophets had to endure great trials and sufferings, not only at the hands of unbelievers, but at the hands of professing believers as well. Jeremiah was arrested as a traitor. He was arrested as a traitor and even thrown into an abandoned well to die. And God fed Jeremiah and protected him through the terrible siege of Jerusalem, even though at times it looked like Jeremiah would be killed. But both Ezekiel and Daniel had their share of hardships, did they not? Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Yet God closed the mouths of the lions. There are those who lost their lives for their obedience to the Lord. But friends, they shall receive a special reward for those who are true to God, even unto death. So why is it that those who speak in the name of the Lord often endure difficult trials? Well, it's because their lives will back up their message. Listen, the impact of a faithful, godly life carries much power. And we need to remind ourselves that our patience in times of suffering is a testimony to others around us. I look around this room tonight, and many of you have amazing stories. God's brought you through so much. You've gone through loss. You've gone through health challenges. yet through it all, you kept a song on your heart, and you continue to worship the Lord. You continue to honor Him. You continue to speak of His glory and His majesty. Even when you didn't feel well, you still honored the Lord. I'm telling you, friends, listen, that is a testimony people will sit up and take note of. When you can speak of the goodness and grace of God when your heart is hurting, my friend, that's a faith that is genuine. You may ask, well, what about those faithful Christians who suffered and died without any notice or recognition? Friends, believe me, they are not unnoticed. God sees them. God saw them when they went through a time of persecution, and even when they lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. They are not unnoticed by God. Friends, when Jesus returns, these obscure heroes will receive their rewards. And the prophets were killed and buried, but today their names are honored. And friends, when the Lord returns, He will bring His reward with Him, as Revelation 22:12 tells us. You know, the prophet's example should motivate us to spend more time in the Word and to get acquainted with these great heroes of the faith so that we too can be encouraged to live out our faith today through good times and bad. You know, the important thing is that like the farmer, we keep working, and like the prophets, we keep witnessing no matter what. We just keep plugging away. Keep working and keep witnessing. But then there's a third example tonight, and we all know his name very well. And his name is Job. Notice verse 11. James writes, "We count those blessed who endured." Listen, church, you cannot persevere unless there's a trial in your life. Did y'all catch that? You cannot persevere unless there's a trial in your life. There can be no victories without battles. There are no peaks without valleys. If you want the blessing, you must be prepared to carry the burden and fight the battle. But know without a doubt that the Lord is with you, and He will never forsake you. When do blessings come? They come from the midst of trials. We're blessed in good times and in bad, but it's only in the bad times that we recognize blessings the most. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, they were not alone. But there was a fourth man in the fire. And the king saw this fourth man and said, Looks like someone like God to me. Indeed, Jesus was there. So friends, when you find yourself in the fire, understand you're in good company, because Jesus is there. James wants us to understand that there is a blessing after we've endured. And his example is Job. Now, I know what you're thinking. Really, Job? Who wants to go through what Job went through? I don't know of any volunteers. But you know, the book of Job is a long book, and the chapters are filled with speeches to the Western mind. Seems so long and tedious and painful. But in the first three chapters, we find Job's distress. You know the story well. He loses his health, his wealth, and even his family, with the exception of his wife. And even she told him to commit suicide. I mean, what kind of help was that? In chapters 4 to 31, we read of Job's defense as he debates his three so-called friends and answers their false accusations. In chapters 38 to 42, we find Job's deliverance. And first, God humbles Job and then honors Job as he gives Job twice as much as he had before. Now, it's important to remember that Job had no idea what was going on in the heavenly realm. No idea. In fact, the Lord never tells Job why all this was taking place in his life. But you know, Job's friends accused Job of being a great sinner and hypocrite, and all these bad things are a result of sin in your life. You know, Job maintained his innocence, and the friends were wrong, and in the end, God rebuked his three friends for telling lies about Job. But you know, it's difficult to find a greater example of suffering than Job. When Denise and I lost our son, I got to tell you, Job became my best friend. We learned a lot about pain. Job understood it well, and he modeled it well. Job endured. He endured. Satan predicted that Job would renounce his faith and abandon God, but it didn't happen. Job endured. It's true that Job questioned God's will, but he did not forsake his trust in the Lord. Job said, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him." So Job was so sure of God's faithfulness that he persisted in arguing with him, although he did not understand all that God was doing. My friend, that is endurance. We don't understand everything. We don't understand the suffering, why things happen as they do, but we can be assured that God is working for our good. And he is for us, not against us. Job was a righteous man, yet he suffered. God found no evil in him. Job teaches us that God has higher purposes in suffering than the punishing of sin. And as horrible as things were for Job, they do not compare to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Not even close. Job's life is a precursor to the life and mission of the Lord Jesus, who suffered not for his sins, but the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine. So you may ask, but if God is so merciful, why didn't he protect Job from all that suffering to begin with? Great question. Friends, there are mysteries in this life we will never understand. But what we learn from Job is that God was glorified and that Job was purified through this fiery trial. Listen, if there is nothing to endure, then you will never learn endurance. Amen or oh me. If there's nothing to endure, you will never learn endurance. Yet that's what the Lord desires to instill in your life, an enduring faith. So what does the story of Job have to do with James's readers, and what does that have to do with you and me tonight? Well, it means that some of the trials of life are caused directly by satanic opposition. Yes. God permits Satan to try his children, but he always limits the extent of Satan's power. And when you find yourself in the fire, remember that God keeps his gracious hand on the thermostat of your life. He is in control. You know, Satan wants you and me to get impatient with God, and that's a dangerous place to be. An impatient Christian is a dangerous weapon in the devil's hands. Remember Moses? His impatience prevented him from entering the promised land. Abraham's impatience led to the birth of Ishmael, a devout enemy of the Jews. And when Satan attacks us, it's easy to grow impatient with God, run ahead of him, and lose his blessings as a result. So it's a dangerous thing to grow impatient. So listen, when you find yourself in the furnace, go to the throne of grace and receive from the Lord all the grace you need to endure. I love the words of Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. The writer says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace, how? With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. So friends, when you find yourself in the fire, remind yourself that the Lord has a gracious purpose even in your suffering and your trials, and that He will work out His purposes in His time and for His glory. He has far too much invested in your life than to just get reckless with your life. He sent His Son to die for you. Why would He ever get reckless with your life? Friends, listen. You're not a robot caught in the jaws of fate. You're a deeply loved child of God, and you're privileged to be part of His divine plan. You know, look with me in verse 12. James writes, "But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you do not fall under judgment." Now, verse 12, at first reading, appears to not fit the narrative of what we've been reading. Actually, it really does. And James is saying to all of us to be careful with our words, because when you're suffering, you can be prone to say things you don't mean. You can say things that are harmful. You find yourself bargaining with God or trying to cut deals with God. The temptation may be very real to deny God with your words when your heart hurts. And so the Jews were great ones for using various oaths to back up their statements. And the person who must use many words, including oaths, to convince others of their story has something wrong with their character. But listen, if you are a true believer with integrity, then all you have to say is yes and no, and people will believe you. So one of the purposes of suffering is the building of character. And Job was a better man for having gone through the furnace of suffering. And we review the lives of the farmer, the prophets, and Job, and we conclude that James wanted to encourage us to be patient in times of suffering, because suffering isn't forever. So like the farmer, we're waiting for a spiritual harvest, fruit that will glorify God. And like the prophets, we look for opportunities to speak for the Lord, to witness. We look for opportunities to preach the gospel and share our faith. And like Job, we wait for the Lord to fulfill His loving promises. And like Job, we have a clearer vision of the Lord and come to know Him better, having been in the furnace of affliction. You know, the testimony of Job in the midst of the fire was, "I know my Redeemer lives." Can you say that tonight? I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. And one day, He's coming for me. Having gone through the fire, Job said, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." So friends, listen. If you find yourself hurting, you find yourself in the fires of affliction, the Word of God says, "Oh, beloved, be patient and wait on the Lord. Your deliverance is coming. Trust Him." Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, we live in a world that is so broken, so messed up. It's filled with pain and anguish. All of creation groans with anticipation of Your return. And Lord, even we tonight gathered in this room, we look at the world scene and we look at our life circumstances and our hearts hurt. And yet, Lord, we believe Your promises that you are faithful, Lord, to be with us, and that every day you are working in our lives to sharpen our faith. You're working to build an endurance within us, Lord, through the difficulties and trials of life. But Lord, we know one day it's all coming to an end. We will be in your presence. You will make all things new. But Lord, until then, help us to endure. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Put a song on our hearts, Lord, and may we rejoice in the promises of God. Now, Lord, would you dismiss us with your favor? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.